We have already had four. What are the four? First is the world and life is a vessel in which there are not only living creatures, our partners, but also invisible forces consisting of benign forces and adverse forces are also in battle. That's the first discovery. The second one was, anybody can tell me what was the second discovery?
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice is the means by which you can progress in this battle for the victory. The third discovery was what was it?
No.
What is the third discovery?
Turiya.
That's right. Turiya Svit. The discovery of the supermind. And the fourth discovery was the discovery of
The One.
Good. Which is strange and wonderful, and that reality is at once one that is different from itself, which is a motion of itself in another consciousness. So now we come to the fifth discovery. Fifth discovery is much more complex than all these discoveries. It consists of many parts. The fourth discovery, the discovery of the One, which is complex, simple complex, that which is wonderful, is perhaps what is called the loftiest realization, which has never been surpassed in the history of the world. But as a result of this realization, the Vedic rishis obtained a very vast knowledge of the origin of things, origin of the world, the purpose of the world, the origin of the individual, and the means by which the individual can gain the same knowledge which the Vedic rishis had obtained. It is not a knowledge which is meant only for a few individuals. It's a knowledge which can be given to all, according to their needs, according to their development, according to their capacity to receive this knowledge. It's a knowledge which can be transmitted provided that certain conditions are fulfilled. Let us now take all these one by one. They discovered the origin of things, of the world, of the individuals, and what was their reply to these questions? they discovered that the origin of the world was a manifestation of joy. At the root of the world is joy, is delight. It's a very important discovery, because many people in the world believe that the origin of the world is desire and not joy. But the Vedic rishis discovered that it is not desire, is not at the root of the world, is not at the origin of the world, but the fullness . You know, there is a difference between work which is impelled by desire and work which is a result of fullness. When you are absolutely full, there is joy. Joy and fullness are interrelated. To take a simple example, I don't know if you have seen a film called My Fair Lady. I don't know if you have seen that film. It's a beautiful film, My Fair Lady. It's a story of a girl who sells flowers and who draws attention of a professor of languages, Professor Higgins. And seeing that this girl was speaking very murderous English, enters into a bet with a friend of his and said, this girl has a capacity to master English in 6 months' time. And then, knowing that this kind of bet was entered into, or at least there was a proposal that this man can teach English, she comes to his house and says, now teach me English and I'll pay you for it. There is a beautiful dialogue which we need not go into now, but ultimately she is taken up by Professor Higgins. And then Professor Higgins starts teaching her. And there are lots of tears in the labor of learning English, at least pronunciation of English. And ultimately, one fine day, after a lot of labor, suddenly she is able to pronounce one line in English beautifully. That was the day on which, you might say, she became full. And then she sings, I can dance and dance for the whole night. It's a dance of joy, not of a desire. There was a fullness in her. She could now master, she had mastered a sentence which it was so difficult to pronounce earlier. Because of that mastery, there is fullness in her being, and then she is absolutely overjoyed, ecstasy. In that ecstasy, she dances. It's a dance out of joy, not out of desire. Now this world is also an activity, is also a dance. It's a dance of reality. Later on in India, this dance was given the great significance. The world has been conceived thereafter as a dance of Shiva. And you must have seen Nataraj, so many statues of Nataraj in the pose of dancing. But at the root of it was the discovery of the Vedic rishis, that this world is a dance, is a manifestation out of fullness of being. Not that the reality needs to manifest. There is no desire to manifest. It is not desire, is a condition in which what you don't have is attempted to be grasped. It is not out of fullness. It is out of lacuna, out of want, out of some deficiency. A desire arises when you want to grasp something which you don't possess already. Now reality is not of that kind. The activity of reality is not of that kind. The reality is full, perfect. There is no deficiency in reality. But in that fullness, there is a spontaneous activity. Because it is full, it can throw itself out fully. Not to grasp something which it does not possess. It is not a movement towards the external to grasp the external into oneself. It is the throwing of the inward, what is inner, inside, outside, as fully as possible, as perfectly as possible. Now this manifestation, this word manifestation is a very important word. The world is a manifestation. You can manifest only what you have, what is inside. So this world is conceived by the Vedic rishis as a manifestation. Even the word creation is not sufficiently expressive of it. Manifestation is to manifest which is already inside. Creation might mean something that was not there, which you are now creating. That is not the concept. The idea is that what is inside the reality is manifested. Now, along with this, there was another concept. It is the concept of what is called tapas. T-A-P-A-S, tapas. It's a Sanskrit word. Tapas really means force of concentration. This force of concentration can be inward, but also can throw itself outward. So this manifestation is by the force of tapas, and the entire world is a manifestation of tapas, the force of concentration. there is one very important verse in the Rig Veda which is called the verse which, if you recite and understand properly, you can be liberated from all difficulties. If you know the origin of the world truly, then you will have only joy left. All grief vanishes. So it starts by saying what is at the origin of things. Tapaso adhyajayata. It says tapasaha adhyajayata. The whole world has come out of tapas. Tapasaha adhyajayata. Jayata, ajayata means was born, manifested. Tapasaha, from tapas. And the first thing that came out of tapas, the origin of things, was ritam cha satyam, the truth and the right. In other words, the first thing that manifested was supermind. Ritam cha satyam, satyam, ritam, brihat. These are three words which are the formula of the supermind in the Veda. Wherever you come across these three words in the Veda, they refer to supermind. So the first thing that came out of the action of force, of concentration, was ritam cha satyam, was the supermind. This is the origin of things. So at the origin of things is the supermind. But then a surprising thing happened. It's a verse which is very rapid in its statement. It doesn't state everything fully. Tato ratra jayata, from there arose the night. And from there, samudro arunavaha, from there arose an ocean of inconscience. So in one sentence it says the whole description. First came the supermind, then came the night, and then came the inconscience. It's only two lines. But this entire process has been described in the Veda in many places, under many circumstances. Actually, this is the subject on which Mother herself had spoken to the children of the ashram. And she said, I will tell you the ancient knowledge of the origin of things, which was in the Veda or even pre-Vedic times, in the Chaldean times. And she said it can be told in a very philosophical manner. It can also be told in a very childish manner. And she said that I'll tell you like a childish story. And she said at the beginning of the things, the reality manifested, emanated four beings. The story of creation, you might, the story of the, what was the first thing that happened? Four beings came out of the reality. The being of the truth, the being of light, the being of delight, and the being of life. Light, life, delight, and truth. These are the four beings. Light, life, delight, and truth. These are the four beings which came out. And when they came out, there was so much of vastness, so much of delight. And there entered what mother calls an accident. An accident occurred. These four beings severed their relationship from the origin. And by separation from this relationship with the origin, they became limited. They were vast. But by deviating, by disconnecting with the origin, they became limited. So much limited that truth became falsehood, life became death, delight became sorrow, and light became darkness. And once this happened, from darkness it became more dark and more dark until there came about inconscience.